You're listening to KXLU Los Angeles, 88.9 FM, and the program is Echo in the Sense. That's the public affairs and art show here at KXLU. I'm the host, Christine Palma. And tonight, I have an interview with Adam Gross. Adam Gross is the executive director for Art Platform Los Angeles. Art Platform Los Angeles is a contemporary art fair which takes place this coming weekend from Friday to Sunday, with a special vernissage or VIP preview that takes place on Thursday. And it's at the historic Barker Hangar at the Santa Monica Airport. And what it is, Art Platform Los Angeles will bring together both local and international artists, dealers, collectors, museum and art enthusiasts to engage in a vibrant exchange of art and culture. It's for the community, and it will provide unprecedented access to the artists, institutions, and collections that define the Los Angeles art scene, and it will do this through a selection of curation of innovative galleries, extensive VIP program, a stimulating open platform, speaker series, and other special programming. Here's the interview. You're listening to KXLU Los Angeles, 88.9 FM, and the program is Echo in the Sense. I'm with Adam Gross. We're going to talk about Art Platform Los Angeles. Let's first of all give out the dates. It's an art fair. Let's give out the dates and the web address, and we'll also give it out in the middle and at the end.
Thank you, Christine. The public dates are September 28th, which is Friday, through Sunday, September 30th. We'll also have a VIP opening on Thursday, September 27th. And from 5 to 9 p.m. on that day, Thursday, September 27th, we will also have a vernissage. After that will be an after party, which will benefit LACMA, which we're very excited about. The web address is www.artplatform-losangeles.com. Again, that's artplatform-losangeles.com.
And this is its second year, its second incarnation. It's a sister fair to the Armory Show, right?
Yes, that is correct. We were very fortunate to have the expertise, the reputation, and the resources of the Armory Show to aid us as we developed this fair for Los Angeles. Because really, Los Angeles, it's not an obvious place. It's a place that I have found that you have to work a little harder for. The distances are greater. Locating suitable venues is a little more difficult. Parking issues, transportation. We're a different animal than what you have in New York, but again, with those resources and that expertise, it has made a huge difference for us.
Before we talk about the art fair, let's talk about you. How are you roped in?
First, I must say that you can suffer through me because I'm telling you far more interesting is the art fair, but I will tell you how I ended up here. I started off my career years ago in finance. I went to school at UCLA for finance and art history and just was a miserable financial person and left early on to pursue a career in the arts, went back, got my master's in art history several years ago, and since then have really tried many jobs that there are in the art world, running galleries, working with auction houses, being a private dealer and consultant on my own. Most recently prior to this, and I think really what I have to thank for the position I am in now, which is Executive Director of Art Platform Los Angeles, is my tenure at MoCA and the Museum of Contemporary Art in downtown Los Angeles on Grand Avenue. I was there for about 5 years, five remarkably rewarding, yet five remarkably challenging years, from about 2005 to 2010. And if you know the history of MoCA, from 2008 on, it was a challenging moment. But it was remarkably rewarding. I really learned a lot, met a lot of wonderful people. I think really thanks to that position, to that exposure, to that experience, it was something that brought me to the attention of a gentleman named Paul Morris, who was the founding director of the Armory Show, who has been just a great friend and mentor throughout this process.
What did you do at MoCA?
I was in charge of fundraising, focusing specifically on individual giving. It was generally major donors. It was my job to communicate with them clearly, to cultivate them, and towards the end to really help articulate what was going on in the institution and what their role is and how they could be helpful and continue to stay engaged. It was very challenging, but it was remarkably rewarding.
Can you elaborate a little bit on your your role as executive director, you have to travel around the world, right?
It is rewarding because I do get to see an enormous number of galleries, a huge amount of art. I think last year might have seen anywhere from 16 to 20 art fairs, which it becomes a little overwhelming after a while. And this is pretty much every continent. I didn't go to Africa, didn't go to Australia, didn't go to Antarctica last year, but everywhere else I was. What I found that I enjoy in art is sharing it with other people. And ultimately, that, I think, is one of the great roles that an art fair can fulfill. But in answer to your question of what my role is as executive director, it's more of the big picture stuff. My primary role really is to curate galleries. It's to bring in galleries. It's to travel. The art world, and the contemporary art world in particular, has become a very international arena. There's a lot of free-flowing communication that happens between cities, individuals, countries, etc. And the audience for it has also grown to be international. And there is a certain expectation that when you come to Los Angeles, you want to see what's happening in China, or you want to learn what's happening in Berlin, etc. My role is to go out there and to talk to these galleries, to learn about their programs, and to ultimately try to see how it will fit within both the framework of our platform, so that's a cohesive whole, but ultimately to how it's going to fit within Los Angeles with the audience that we have here, with the audience that is coming in from out of town. Because really, we can talk about this esoterically, but in the end, it is a commercial enterprise. Galleries are coming here to not just show work, but also ultimately to sell work. It is remarkably expensive to rent a booth, to ship your work, to send your staff out, to insure it, to pay for your lighting, all these other things. So we're very aware of that and really want to do as best we can for our gallerists, which is why I always try to select galleries that I think will have an audience here. I also work very closely with our sponsorship team. Again, ultimately, I'm the one that's talking to a lot of the individuals and the collectors that are coming in and the gallerists, so our potential sponsors want to understand what my vision is, how they fit into this. Because again, like the exhibitors, I am looking for sponsors that fit. There are sponsorships that we would turn down because they just aren't a good match for the audience that we have. Besides that, there is the curatorial element, which might be for the special projects that we bring in that help sort of complement and supplement the programs that we have with the galleries. And then ultimately, too, right down to booth layouts and the floor plans, etc. Ultimately, I am bringing in other professionals that are better and smarter at things than I am. This year, we worked with Fred Fisher Architects, and they were remarkably helpful in helping us conceive what this would look like in a new venue for us, because this is our first year at the Barker Hangar. It's all of those things, and it's a lot of managerial work, you know, managing staff, managing teams. But the great news is that I have, I think, one of the best teams around. It makes it so that I can sit here with you for an hour while build out is happening and know that everything is going to be fine.
So you're doing everything.
No, at this point, I'm doing nothing. I am answering questions and I am putting out a lot of fires. What I'm really doing is I'm getting out of everybody's way.
Why did you choose this part of the year to do this? Because there's LA Arts Month. Why September?
Because wherever you are right now, like open your car window or look outside and look how beautiful it is. And, you know, I mean, look, I'm born and raised in LA. And I can tell you this, that if I was ever a betting man and I was going to bet on when there was going to be rain and cold weather in Los Angeles, it's going to be January, February, and March. That's it. We get storms that period. For some of the other art events that have happened in January in the past, really more often than not, I have found myself being greeted by torrential rainstorms or cold weather. And you know, if I have any aspiration to expose out-of-towners to the arts in Los Angeles, if I have any hope of doing that, I think, for me at least, I want to show off Los Angeles at its best. And where LA is just so perfect. The weather's here nice all the time, but man, in the springtime and in the fall, it is just like those Indian summers. And next week, knock on wood, cross my fingers, we're going to get that. The forecast is for mid-70s all along the way.
What was your vision for last year's art platform and then for this year's art platform, since you're curating it? When you look at galleries, what are you looking for?
Well, last year was a really unique year. First, it was our first year, and it was happening at a moment where Los Angeles, I think, was finally coming out of its shell. And it was where Los Angeles was being finally recognized, not just for what's happening here contemporaneously, but also what has happened here over the past 50 years. We, for example, opened at the same time as the Getty's Pacific Standard Time Initiative, which covered art in Los Angeles 1945 to 1980. because of that interest in Los Angeles, because of the community involvement with Pacific Standard Time and the focus on that era, we really wanted to keep a clean focus on art from Los Angeles. So what we were looking for last year was galleries that generally either represented or had access to or were bringing art that was connected somehow to the city. Generally, it was by artists that either lived here currently and are creating art here, or it might have been artists that lived here at one point. So an example of that would be somebody like Judy Chicago, who no longer lives in Los Angeles, but we had some great examples of her work. James Terrell would be another artist who no longer lives here, but we had some great examples of his work, and this is work that was made and produced while they were in Los Angeles. We last year really wanted to provide that context, and also ultimately, again, sort of supplement and complement what was happening with Pacific Standard Time, because it ended at 1980. And God knows a few things have happened since 1980 in Los Angeles. We really wanted to have a mix of both that post-war and contemporary. And as we had talked about earlier, Christine, I'm also bringing in some of the nonprofits that make LA and interesting and the alternative art spaces that are the incubators for that next generation. Before you show at Suzanne Vielmetter or Blum and Poe or Acme or what have you, you more than likely show at various small fires, or you might show at summer camp, or you might show with machine projects. And that's the other thing. LA is a challenging city to navigate. And even somebody like myself who's been working in the art industry for, I don't know, like 15, 17 years in LA, I don't know where half of these small nonprofits are in Los Angeles. They're spread all over the place. There's good work being done in Highland Park. There's good work being done in East LA. There's good work being done in the South Bay. But it takes a real commitment. And I think that there are very few people that have that kind of time and have that kind of capability to go visit all these places. It's what we were talking about, what one of the strengths of an art fair is, and it's the ability to aggregate a lot of very engaging and eclectic content in one place. The idea last year was to give people a vision of Los Angeles. Was it an encyclopedic vision? Is it a perfect vision? No, but it's the vision that you can have when you bring 100 or 110 galleries, nonprofits together to really put their best foot forward. That was last year. Last year, we were really honored to be part of Pacific Standard Time as well, creating a VIP program for Pacific Standard Time. In partnership with the Getty, we were inviting a lot of museum professionals, curators, gallerists, and collectors from all over the world to come experience this really remarkable moment in Los Angeles, so that if you're a collector or somebody who's coming in from out of town, it's nice to come to the fair. It's nice to go see a few museums and visit a few friends, but LA is also a very private city in ways. There's a lot that goes on behind closed doors, behind gates, etc. So what we did is we created this program where collectors, studios, some nonprofits, etc., created special tours. We got access into special collections and things that if you are an out-of-towner coming to Los Angeles, you would never get access to.
So this year, it's different. Pacific Standard Time's behind us.
Yes.
What is different this year?
We felt like we didn't have to, at least for the content in the fair, be as strict and hue to this kind of LA and California-centric vision. Certainly, that will always be part of who we are and what we do, because it's in the name. You know, it's Art Platform Los Angeles. But we also stood back and we looked more at what has become a relatively crowded arena for art fairs in this world. There is, and I'm not kidding you, an art fair that opens every single weekend somewhere around the globe. And really more often than not, there's several art fairs opening in multiple locations all over the place. It's made it challenging, I think, for collectors to know which fairs that they want to go to. They do their local ones, and then they go to a few select ones throughout the year. But what we realized was that LA does hold a special place, not just as an art production center, which it certainly is right now, rivaling any other center in the world, but also our position vis-a-vis the Pacific Rim, vis-a-vis Mexico, Southeast Asia, East Asia. There's a lot of very interesting work that's happening in East Asia right now, for example, in Central and South America. And Los Angeles has long been a crossing point for those locales and the people that are doing business or traveling back and forth. And particularly when I was in Tokyo a few times this last year and talking to gallerists there, and specifically gallerists of a certain age, and when I would introduce myself as being from Los Angeles, just this like look on their face, and they were like, ah, Los Angeles was the first city I visited outside of Tokyo in 1965, and I'll never forget that experience. And it really is a gateway onto the Pacific Rim. And what I discovered is that this is not something that's going to happen overnight, but what I do see as one of our strategic advantages is that position on the Pacific Rim. It's our position as a creative center, both on the art side and also as a creative cultural capital with the entertainment industry and the outsized influence that has on the globe. Ultimately, what we foresee and what we'd like to develop for our platform is a more concerted ability to really bring together some of the interesting things that are happening in East Asia and throughout the Pacific Rim, because I know what that flight is like. And it's not an easy one. It's almost equidistant to go from here to Tokyo as it is to go from here to London or Paris. But the Paris trip or London trip is an easier one for me conceptually. It seems like it's a closer trip or an easier trip because of the cultural differences, the language differences. And I know that when I came back from East Asia from these past few trips, the interest that collectors had with what's happening there, because there is that cultural barrier, that there is that language barrier, and it's not obvious how to navigate that. And also the markets there are developing in an entirely different way and really an accelerated way. And it makes it so that if you are somebody who is a collector who tries to pay attention to what's happening globally, there's so many areas now. There's great art coming out of Africa. There's great art coming out of Australia. There's great art coming out of certainly Europe and South America, Mexico and Canada. I can barely keep track of what the hell's going on in Los Angeles, let alone what's happening in all these other cities. So an art fair becomes a very convenient way and a very efficient way to see a lot of art quickly. This is sort of my 3 to 5 year project, is how to develop art platform into that platform for not just art internationally and from Europe and New York and all these other locales, which we will always be open to, but how can we sort of make more of an emphasis and create more content that centers around what does happen in East Asia and on the Pacific Rim? So that's the near-term and sort of medium-term vision for what we want to accomplish here.
What are you looking for when you pick these galleries?
The first thing that I'm looking for, I feel very strongly about the quality of the work that is here. I have found it remarkably important to go and visit these galleries on their home turf, to go and see them in other art fairs, to see what they're capable of and what their programs are. But in the end, I want to know what they're going to be putting on the wall here. You could be the best gallery in Berlin, but if you bring work that I don't, or maybe would not be considered serious work, or that would not be considered interesting, at least within the context of what we're doing here, then we're not interested. And this gets back to what I was talking about the crowded fair environment. I've gone to a lot of art fairs, as you know. What I found is that over time, they all kind of start looking alike. Oftentimes, it's the same galleries internationally because there's really only a few that can afford to do these. There are galleries right now that are doing 10, 12 fairs per year or more. When I talk to bigger galleries now, more often than not, I'm talking to their art fair director. Not their director, but the art fair director. This is a person who just manages their participation in art fairs. You could be the best gallery in London, but if you aren't going to bring good programming to the fair in Los Angeles, then I'm really not interested, because I want people who come here to have a meaningful experience, to have an interesting experience, and to be surprised a little bit, to see something that maybe they weren't familiar with before, to learn something, to be provoked a bit, to ask a question, to have a conversation. Because really, in the end, Christine, the thing that I find most exciting about art is not just my experience with the art on a one-to-one basis, but it's standing next to you and looking at the art and looking at it through your eyes and having a conversation about it. Because we will have a conversation unlike any conversation you can have on almost any other topic. You're talking about these very subjective interpretations. This is not about did you like the movie or didn't you like the movie, because it's sort of what you see is what you get. This is what do you see in that photo? What do you see in that painting? How does that sculpture make you feel? When's the last time you saw a film and asked somebody afterwards, oh God, how did that film make you feel?
Right.
Did you like it? Did you not like it? What did you think of the acting? What have you? I mean, the art world is a remarkable place where there's no rules. And it's fun. It creates a lot of opportunities. And what I think is one of the most important elements about contemporary art and contemporary art production, for me at least, is to help me see things differently. Because the older I get, the more I see things in a specific way. And it's built on, you know, in my case, 40 plus years of experience and living. And you start creating sort of tropes and stereotypes and a screen through which you are looking at this world. And when somebody can challenge me with art or with anything, when I can see a movie and it's like unlike anything I've ever seen before and makes me think about storytelling or thinks about film in a different way, that's powerful. When I see a work of art that challenges me, in fact, that's what I've discovered, is that the art that I really pay attention to now, it's the things that I really like. Initially, I see it and I really like, and the things that I really don't like, the things that challenge me, the things that make me go, really? Like, that's art? I mean, really? Because what I found is that over time, those things that challenge me, they become something that I might not ever buy it and want it in my home, but it becomes something that I really appreciate. Because when I can wrap my brain around it, I have worked for it. And I can appreciate it in a much better way. It's like getting something for free or actually having to work for it. You value it in two different ways.
How do you take in an art fair? There's so much here.
How do you navigate one?
How do you navigate one? Do you have to be a sophisticated viewer?
Oh, no. That's the great thing about an art fair. And it's like the good and the bad about an art fair. But
how many exhibitors do you have this year?
Maybe 105, 110. But we also have a good number of nonprofits. And
so how does someone navigate?
Yeah. So how do you approach an art fair? Well, first of all, I think one of the great things about an art fair is that it is a, and this sounds remarkably uninspiring, but it is a very efficient way to see a lot of art. In a normal day, if you went to go visit a few galleries, you might see four or five galleries, and that would be a pretty full day. And in addition, when you go to a gallery, it's not the most obvious thing. You walk into a room, oftentimes there's nobody there. Maybe there's a front desk and somebody's sitting there working away or talking quietly on the phone or what have you. But you're confronted with art in a relatively sterile, quiet environment. Certainly it's contemplative and you can have that quiet experience with it, but there's no real social engagement. And I think that's one of the great things about an art fair is that there is a very big social component to this. And when you walk into a booth or if you walk by a booth, the person that's sitting there in that booth is either the owner or the director of that gallery. It's not uncommon for an artist to be in a booth with a gallery to help articulate and talk about the work. When you walk into a booth, the most qualified people to talk to you about that art are standing there. Again, for better or for worse, it's a commercial environment. They are there to share the work with you, but ultimately they would like to sell the work. They'd like to place it in a good collection and find new clients, etc., new collectors. So they are motivated. They are there for you. When they're in their gallery, they're there to talk to their shippers and certainly to their collectors and, you know, to do all these other things, but they've got a lot of business to attend to. When they're here, you are their business. And it creates a really wonderful opportunity for a much more engaging interaction with the people that are probably closest to and most important to that art, which gets us back to what I was talking about, which is, you know, art is a vehicle for social engagement. In addition to that, you can see a lot of art very, very quickly. Now, how do you approach an art fair? The way that I generally do it, having gone to a lot, is the first thing I will do is I will grab the floor plan. And I will sit down with the floor plan. Before I go anywhere, I will sit in the cafe, I will open up the floor plan, and I will look at the floor plan. I want to get a sense as to what the lay of the land is here. I will then go through and I will circle the booths in particular that I know that I want to go see. I, you know, like Patrick Painter, I want to make sure I go see him, so I'm going to make sure that he's circled on my floor plan. But then what I'll do is I will pretty systematically comb the fair. And I start on one aisle, and I walk up that aisle, and I walk down that aisle. I'll certainly stop and talk to people if I find that there's something interesting, but what I'm also doing is I'm sort of quickly moving through here and I'm circling the galleries that I think are doing interesting things. And then after I've gone and done all that, I will then go back through and start talking to those galleries. And as I'm doing that, I will suddenly notice the other work of art that was in the booth next door that I didn't really see because it was on the wall and I was coming in the opposite direction. But that's when I have a much slower progression through there. And then as I go through there, I check them off the map, and I will typically be writing notes on the map or maybe in the catalog, for example, so that I can go back and think about these things, because what will happen inevitably is you will find yourself with visual overload.
Right. So people should go multiple days, actually.
Ideally, if you can. And we offer tickets for the day. We also offer run-of-show passes. It does make a difference because it's like going to the most wonderful buffet you've ever seen in your life, and it's got every one of your favorite foods, but you can really only eat so much. And once you've digested a little bit and you can get some perspective, you want to go back and get seconds. It might be the next day. Ideally, you'll come back over 2 days. But, you know, I typically also will stop at specific times in the fair. There'll be a lounge to sit somewhere or a place where I can get a drink or something and sit down and review my notes and continue to sort of jot things down. Because our fair, we're trying to keep manageable. And when I say that, I mean sort of that 120 galleries and below, because what I found is that when you go to fairs that have 170 or 250 or 270 galleries, which there are several in this world that are like that, that you become overwhelmed. And at the end of those days, and I'm somebody who has been looking at visual art for my whole life and have been trained in it for 17 years, you ask me what I saw or what I really liked, and I will be hard-pressed to give you a straight answer. Because it's all of a sudden, like, you ask that question, and it's like suddenly somebody flips a Rolodex really quickly, and all these pictures start flashing up, and you're like, that was good, you know, and it just becomes a sort of mishmash of images. And that is why what we're looking to create for our platform, Los Angeles, is a really meaningful experience for exhibitors, for our visitors, for our collectors, for our sponsors, really for everybody involved, including my staff. These are a remarkably dedicated group of people that are busy right now outside this door building walls and producing catalogs and making sure the signage gets done just right. They put a lot into this, and we do want people to have a meaningful experience and to walk away feeling like this was worthwhile.
You're at the Barker Hangar this year, although you're kind of double the Barker Hangar. You've built this massive tent, which is probably the size of half of the Barker Hangar. Where were you last year?
Actually, let me correct you. It is the size of 84% of the Barker Hangar, basically, to be really specific about it. And I'm probably off a couple percentage points because I was trying to calculate that in my head. The Barker is 35,000 square feet. One tent we're building is 30,000 square feet, but I'm building an additional 10,000 square feet as well. Last year, we were in a building called the LA Mart, which is in downtown Los Angeles. We were there because it was available to us. My parent company happened to own the building. We took about 75,000 square feet there last year and filled it all and had a great time doing it. The building has since been sold, and we did it there last year because it was our first year. And what I have discovered is that doing a big event like this in a building that you own, it's an entirely different conversation than if you do it somewhere else. You know,
I kept hearing great things about that it was just the perfect place because you could customize each room.
And it had pluses and minuses. Parking was very easy. The building owns two massive lots. We had like 1,200 parking spots to use, which is a big deal in Los Angeles. It was very conveniently located, but it also was missing some of the elements that I think make Los Angeles a great art city, or just a great city in general. It's the light, it's the space. I mean, for God's sakes, the light and space movement comes out of Los Angeles. The building, as great as it was for what it was, you know, the ceilings were anywhere from 12 to 14 feet high, which means we had limits on how high the walls could be. It was on the inside. It was an interior experience. There were no windows. You were really sort of sequestered in that building. And it was fine for what it was. I mean, we really were able to transform that space just like we're transforming the space here. But here we have the Barker Hangar with a 43-foot clearance in the center. We have these massive airplane hangar doors, which will, weather permitting, will remain open throughout the fair so that there will be a lot of natural light coming in. We had that massive tent, which lets in a lot of natural light as well. We wanted to really, this year, capture some of that.
And if you don't know, the Barker Hangar is at the Santa Monica Airport. Plenty of parking here. Let's go ahead and give out the dates and the web address again. I'm with Adam Gross. We're talking about Art Platform Los Angeles. When is it?
Art Platform Los Angeles opens to the public on Friday, September 28th. And closes on Sunday, September 30th. Our show hours those days are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're at the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica, as Christine pointed out. The address is 3021 Airport Avenue. It's on the site of the Santa Monica Airport, just south of the 10 freeway and right off of South Bundy Drive. Our web address is www.artplatform-losangeles.com. Again, that's artplatform-losangeles.com. Or if you Google us, you'll find us, obviously. What we're also doing is for our opening day, we'll have a VIP opening on Thursday, September 27th. And from 5 to 9 p.m., it turns into what we call our vernissage, which is a fancy French word for a art opening. The public will have access to the fair at that time, but the way you'll get access is by buying a ticket to the after party that we are co-hosting with LACMA and SBE at The Colony, which is a nightclub in Hollywood. So tickets for that are $50. They benefit LACMA Muse. If you're a member of Muse already, it's a $40 ticket. That will afford you access to Art Platform Los Angeles from 5 to 9 on Thursday the 27th. You'll get a run-of-show pass, so you can come on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday with a guest at any time. And then also you'll be able to attend the after party at The Colony that evening, I think starting at 8 o'clock. Again, this gets back to that sense of community that we're trying to develop, because there are times when I sit and I look at art by myself, but I always enjoy going to look at it with somebody else. We live in LA, so it's like the movie analogy. I am far more likely to go see a movie with somebody than without. If I'm going to be by myself, I'll read a book.
So let's spend a few minutes, just a few minutes, talking about some of your sponsors or your partners. Okay. So who's helping you out here?
Everybody is helping us out because we can't do this by ourselves. The first group that is really some of the most important people that we work with are our exhibitors. And in fact, it's funny. When I was envisioning this fair, and for quite some time, I've been working on this for a year, I'd just been sitting looking at floor plans. And until you stand in a space and see how big the tent's going to be, see how big the walls are going to be, it's really difficult to understand the scope and scale. And a couple months ago, I started getting worried. I'm like, oh my God, I can sort of envision this space, but there's a lot of details that I can't envision. And then I realized that there's a reason for that, and that's because it's the galleries. We're making the space and building the walls. All the beauty that will happen here comes from the gallerists. And also, they're really the ones that are the economic engine for this. I'm looking at the floor plan with you now. I've got gallerists coming in from Tokyo, from Hong Kong, from Italy, from France, from New York, certainly. There's people coming in from all over the world. I would be remiss if I was not thanking them. These are people like the gallery Pras della Vallade coming in from Paris, or Repetto coming in from Italy, or Sin Sin coming in from Hong Kong. So there are those gallerists, and also the local ones that I must be very, very grateful for being so supportive. On the sponsorship side, we're really fortunate to be working with U.S. Trust again. This is our second year with them as our financial services sponsor. They have a lot of good partners and sort of clients that they work with that are people that I'm certainly interested in talking to, and I know that these galleries are, partly because these are people that generally have the capacity and the proclivity to collect at those highest levels. But it's also important for us to reach a much broader audience. So for example, there's a company like SBE, which is a hospitality company which owns the SLS Hotel, the Redberry Hotel, the Katsuya Restaurants, the Colony Nightclub, Hyde, you know, a bunch of other nightclubs in Hollywood and Los Angeles. And they reach an entirely different audience than the private bank at U.S. Trust. And it's important for us to reach out to that audience, to the younger audience that might not be collectors yet. You don't know where the next collector and the next great collector is going to come from. I mean, remember, Eli Broad, once upon a time, was an accountant, and then he was building homes. And now he has one of the most important private collections in the world and is building a museum here. So it is important for us to reach out to a much broader audience. SBE is part of that.
We can't mention everyone, but who are some of the smaller sponsors or partners?
It's people like Artbook DAP is a distributor of art books. And if you come to an art fair and can't afford a $50,000 work, or you can't afford a $5,000 work, I will guarantee you that you're going to find something at Artbook DAP stand. This year, we were really fortunate to be able to give them a significant space. They're essentially equipping a art bookstore on site. So you will be able to find something that will make you happy. You'll be able to find something that will hopefully inspire you.
Let's go into the programming a little bit. Let's start with Steve Roden.
Steve Roden is a contemporary artist living and working here in Los Angeles and also internationally, whose work I've enjoyed. He's both a visual artist and also is very well known as a sound artist, which is a very small niche of the art world. If it's convenient now for you to have video because there's flat screens, sound is, it's like the most ethereal of things. You can't see it. So Steve's coming in via Lace because he's just finishing up a project with them. But we also engaged Steve to help us activate one of our sponsors. This is another sponsor that we're very proud of and excited about working with this year for the first time. It's a company called ExoJet based out of San Francisco. They are a company that is a private jet sharing company. It makes it so that more people can have access to private jets, which isn't exactly my entire audience, but there's a certain part of my audience that has that capacity. But what we're doing with them this year is they offered very nicely to bring in a Challenger 300 jet to the fair. Again, going back to this idea of having a meaningful experience with art, if that was going to happen, we did want to make that experience as meaningful as possible. So we helped ExoJet commission from Steve Roden a sound piece that will be playing only on opening day and opening night, the Thursday, September 27th, here in the Challenger 300 parked behind the Barker Hangar, which is also one of the nice benefits of being on an airport, is that you can pull a jet up to the back and experience something as ephemeral as a soundscape in a jet.
It's like a unique acoustical environment.
The Challenger 300, from what I understand, they designed it in such a way that the interior actually becomes a speaker, and it's more than the 2 or 4 or 7 channel sound. This is an all-encompassing experience, so we're really excited about that.
I'm looking forward to that. So what else are you excited about? Let's go through the program. There's so much here, and it's over several days. We can only highlight a few of them. What do you recommend?
It's like asking a parent who their favorite kid is, because I will say, first of all, that I'm grateful for all of our sponsors and partners, because it wouldn't be the same without them. So I will not be able to, in the limited time here, talk about all of them. Some of the ones that are making some significant impacts are a group called CoLab, which is based here in Los Angeles. It's presented by Artra Curatorial, which is a group of independent curators, which have really remarkably good relationships with nonprofits and alternative art spaces, both locally and around the globe. CoLab is being presented by Artra, and what they've done is they have reached out to, I believe, about 20 nonprofits and alternative art spaces throughout the country and throughout the world to come and exhibit here at Art Platform. And it's hard enough reaching out and communicating with 90 and 100 galleries. It's a great service that Artra provides by helping us organize these nonprofits, because they are all important and each one deserves time and deserves some cultivation. So we're really excited to see what their projects are going to be and to incorporate them into the fair. We also have a series that will be happening on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday called Open Platform. It's a speaker series that is curated by Andrea Stang, who is the former senior education program manager at MoCA, somebody who I worked with closely while I was there and who I obviously enjoyed working with because we're doing it again now. We worked with her last year, and she is organizing a series of lectures that range on everything from post-Pacific Standard Time, where we're having really the architects of Pacific Standard Time come in and talk about what that experience was like, what they learned, etc., down to talking about panels about residency programs or panels about some of the nonprofits that are going to be here. So that will be happening at 1, 3, and 5 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are also very excited, obviously, as I mentioned, about the partnership with LACMA. LACMA is a great organization that has an encyclopedic view. Because of that, allows a lot of people to experience art from a lot of different angles, which is, as you can tell, something that is important to me. I could talk to you about the boost that MoCA is doing, and LAND, which is a local nonprofit, and LACE, and the Santa Monica Museum, and LACMA is doing, but just trust that these are booths and these are institutions that you should come visit while you're here. Another project that we're very excited about is a project that is being spearheaded by a gallery called Whitestone out of Tokyo. Very well-established gallery that has done a lot of work with the Kutai Group over the years. And the Kutai Group is a group of artists that rise up in Japan and in Tokyo in the late 50s and early 60s. They are a precursor to fluxus, to conceptual art, to performance. They're really about creating something new, being really visceral with their work. You can almost think about them as a sort of conceptual post-abstract expressionist group. And there's been a big resurgence of interest in their work. The Guggenheim is doing a large retrospective of their work. MoCA is featuring a lot of the work in a show coming up opening October 6th, which is called Painting the Void, about that post-abstract expressionist moment. And so the Gutai group is being included there. And Whitestone has dedicated their entire booth, and I want to say it's almost 900 square feet, to really a museum quality installation of important works from these artists. Many of them are works that have never been seen ever and that are coming here from the 50s and 60s. These are works, actually, I've subsequently found out that are works that will very likely be included in museum exhibitions, because there is this resurgence of interest in Gutai. So we're very excited about them. Rachel Lee Hovnanian is somebody who is coming out. She's an artist based out of New York. She's working with a gallery called Layla Heller Gallery out of New York. And we carved out a little additional space for her to do her, she calls it cafe, and where she recreates a sort of an ersatz Texas cafe with the sweet Texas waitress, etc., and serves sort of this ersatz, these ersatz meals to you. I can't really explain it more than that, and you sort of have to come and experience it. I would recommend that you come and experience it. When I experienced it at Layla Heller's gallery this spring in New York, I can tell you that I haven't felt so special in a long time. Just come and enjoy it. We are also working with the LA Art Association, who is bringing in a exhibition called Ping Pong 2012. Ping Pong 2012 was put together with a partnership between them, which is the LA Art Association, and a foundation out of Basel, Switzerland, if I'm not mistaken. They launched the series in Basel, Switzerland this summer in June for the Basel Art Fair. They are bringing it here afterwards, and then they will be closing it up in Miami this year for Art Basel Miami Beach. We talked about LACE. We talked about the Santa Monica Museum, MoCA, LACMA, etc. We're also very excited about some of the special projects that are happening. For example, Night Gallery is bringing in a work called Nike Descending a Staircase by Sean Townley. It's a reference to the Victory of Samothrace, a reference to Marcel Duchamp and his new Descending a Staircase. Very excited about that sculpture, which will greet you when you come in. There is another artist that is being brought in by Art Affairs out of Amsterdam called Ewart Hilgeman. That's another piece of sculpture that will be greeting you when you walk in the door. Clayton Campbell, who is...
Let's talk about Clayton Campbell.
Okay, we'll talk about Clayton, who's installing his work outside right now. Clayton did a series called Words I've Learned Since 9/11 that he's been traveling the globe with. I think after this, it's going to Beijing. It just was in Vienna, if I'm not mistaken. It's a wonderful project. Clayton is somebody who is very tuned into the zeitgeist of our era and is somebody who, like me, is old enough to remember pre-9/11, is old enough to remember pre-cell phones, for God's sakes. What he did is really started digging into and recognizing how this world has changed in the past 11 years. That's the basis of his project. Is he sits down in different venues, and as people come in, and they might be friends of his, it might be strangers, he interviews them for several minutes about their experience in this world post-9/11, and then really starts talking to them about how things have changed, and also really how the vernacular has changed, how words have taken different meanings, how words like homeland security suddenly mean something different after 9/11, how words like weapons of mass destruction suddenly enter into our language and were never part of our vernacular and our language before, how suddenly the meaning of the word democracy takes a different meaning. And then what he does is he has that word written on a piece of paper and then takes about a three-quarter portrait of that person with that sign in front of them. So what we're doing with him here is, for the first time, creating his work on a large scale. So I think the pieces are about 5 by 4 feet, 6 by 5, something like that. These are pieces that will be greeting you when you walk in the door. So we're very excited about both helping him realize this on this scale for the first time. So really, not just affording him a platform to show his work, but affording him the opportunity to explore his work, like what we did with Steve Roden, in a new way. So we're very excited about that. David Lloyd is doing a special installation with KM Gallery out of Santa Monica. Danny First, who's a dear friend and artist, is bringing in these wonderful benches, which you will come and you will sit on and you will laugh because of the phrases and things that are engraved into them. Like I said, there are other things happening, and I can't talk about all of them, but great early photographs by William Klein that are being brought in by Hackleberry out of London. On opening night at 6 o'clock at night, Alejandro Diaz, he's created a banner that will be dragged by an airplane that will be flying back and forth behind the Barker at 6 o'clock p.m. We've tried to create experiences that are something unique and that are something maybe unique to an art fair, but where you can both visually see something or learn something. On Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, Peter Fetterman, who's one of our exhibitors, will be leading a lecture in his booth on how to collect photography. Now, photography is a great thing because photography is typically, it's something that we're very familiar with as an audience, as a population. We see photographs all the time, so we really know how to approach them, and oftentimes they are more affordable. I mean, certainly there are $1 million and multi-$1 million photographs, but the vast majority of photography is available for a couple $1,000s. So if you are a emerging collector, or if you are somebody who never thought of collecting before in your life, or if you're a collector, come down. But what I'm hoping is that you will see something and you will find something that will make you go, God, you know, I can live with that. I want to live with that. And this is for the young collector or for the person who's never collected before, have a conversation with the gallerist. And if you really love something, trust me, they will figure out a way for you to get it. What I used to do to collect, and I still do at times for things that I can't write a check for immediately, is I'll put myself on a payment plan with the, like I'll put it on layaway with the gallery, which I have to warn you though, you got to be careful, because there was one month where I suddenly sat down and looked as I was writing checks out to all these galleries. I realized that I was writing more money to galleries than I was paying in rent, you know? And it was like, oh my God, like I got to stop this. There are collectors, and then there's sort of those of us that have the problem. In fact, maybe next year we'll pull a meeting of like Art Addicts Anonymous and we'll, hi, my name is Adam. I'm a collector. I'm an art addict. But you know what? If I'm going to have an addiction, if I'm going to have a problem, I don't mind having this one. Art has provided me with more opportunities to have more wonderful and meaningful experiences and meet more interesting people than anything I can imagine and any area in this world. It's a beautiful thing, and I hope that you will come down and experience Art Platform Los Angeles. Welcome these artists and these galleries that have traveled thousands of miles and spent thousands of dollars to come here for us. They are coming here for us. They're not doing it for themselves. They're coming here because they want to meet us. They know, they've heard about Los Angeles, they know of the collections here, they know of the support that the city gives for the arts, and they want to be a part of that, even if it's only for 4 days at the end of September in Los Angeles, and they are coming for us. So let's welcome them. The name of this fair is called Art Platform Los Angeles, because like I said, all we do is we create the platform. We rent the space, find the space, we build the walls, we put in the lights, and then we create an open canvas, an open slate for a gallery or an artist to come in and to create something. We provide a platform for them to elevate their art, to show their art and share their art with a broader audience. But, you know, in the broader sense, not just physically, we also are a platform for other organizations in Los Angeles and elsewhere. You know, for example, with what we're doing with CoLab, or for example, helping promote and getting behind some of the events and fundraisers that museums and organizations are doing. So, you know, for example, on Friday the 28th, Give Love is a nonprofit that was established by Patricia Arquette and I believe Shanice Schwartz, who are hosting an event at Shanice's home. She's a very important and wonderful collector here in Los Angeles. They are having an art auction curated by Sterling Ruby, who's a very wonderful artist in Los Angeles and very well renowned. They are having a fundraiser and art auction at their home. Google Give Love Haiti, you will find it. LAND, which is Los Angeles Nomadic Division, which is a great nonprofit that does almost guerrilla art installations all around Los Angeles, is having a big gala fundraiser on Saturday night. On Sunday, Lace is having their annual fall social. The tickets for these things are anywhere from $25 for Lace to $350 for Give Love to $1,000 for LAND, although LAND is doing an after party at the Andaz, and those tickets are only $100. If you go to our website, you can find all this information. But the point is that for these 4 days, we will get a lot of people's attention. And I should leave you with this. It's interesting that we didn't talk about this, because this is really, I think, one of the most important things for me in doing all of this. I think it's one of the themes that you've heard me talk about, but it's sharing this experience, it's sharing this art with more people. And ultimately, my goal in that is that I want there to be more collectors in this town. And there are great collectors in this town, and there's a lot of great collectors in this town. But you and I, Christine, were talking about it earlier. What there's also a lot of are great artists. Some of the most interesting art in the world right now is being produced in Los Angeles. And those artists are coming out of some of the best art schools in the world, which also happen to be in Los Angeles. And every year, a new crop of artists that are talented and well-trained and deserving of attention and deserving of success are coming out of these schools, and they're putting their roots down here in Los Angeles. And the great irony is that there are a lot of these artists are artists that become represented internationally in international galleries, but don't have representation or are not attached to a gallery in Los Angeles. That is peculiar. And what it speaks to is the fact that while we do have a great audience, and while we do have great philanthropists and great collectors here, we need more. We need more to be able to support what this group of artists are doing. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is by bringing in out-of-towners to experience this and to help be supportive of these galleries. But the other way we're going to do this is by helping locals share this experience and sort of have this experience so that they too can become excited by it and passionate by it. And I will leave you with this thought, that right now, LA is experiencing a remarkable moment in its history. An absolutely remarkable moment, and one that will historically be looked back on as a turning point, as that one, that great moment of like foment where we had ideas and artists, and LA for a moment there becomes a really powerful art center. And what my goal is to take that moment and stretch it out for as long as it's going to last, because it's a really exciting place to be.
So much happening. It's very exciting for 4 days. So be a part of it. Let's go ahead and give out the dates and the web address.
I hope that you can come down to our platform, which opens on Friday, September 28th to the public and continues through Sunday, September 30th, 2012. The daily hours are 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Thursday, September 27th, we'll be having a vernissage opening open to the public with the ticket purchase of a ticket to the after party benefiting LACMA's Muse Museum Council. The after party is at the Colony in Hollywood, which affords you access to Art Platform from 5 to 9 on Thursday, September 27th, and also gives you a run of show pass so you can come back throughout the weekend. Our web address is www.artplatform-losangeles.com. We're located at the Barker Hangar this year, which is on the grounds of the Santa Monica Airport on Airport Avenue, right off of South Bundy Drive. I'm sure you've seen it. And if you haven't, drive by and you will see this massive tent that is going up. I really hope that you can come and share this with the galleries that are coming and the artists that are coming, and invite a friend and bring your kids and give them some art.
You've been so enthusiastic and passionate in this conversation. You're going to give a talk at the Santa Monica Museum of Art on what?
It's a series of talks that Elsa Longhauser, who's the director there, who is just a lovely individual and just a great asset to the art world in Los Angeles and at large, has been doing a talk for years now called Trust Your Instincts. It's a series, and she brings in different people that have different perspectives on collecting to have them talk about different elements of collecting, different views, different approaches, etc. I was really honored to be asked to be a part of that lecture series. So the lecture will be at the Santa Monica Museum of Art on Thursday, October 4th, I believe at 7 p.m. If you go to the Santa Monica Museum of Art's website, I'm sure there'll be more information, or if you call there. And the idea is to really talk about what's happening in the art world, specifically as it pertains to art fairs, how that's changing the landscape of the art world, which inevitably it is, and ultimately to helping people get a sense as to how they can navigate these art fairs. It would have been great if we could have done it before the fair, but in this case, it'll be the week after, and I'm sure people have a lot of questions, so I'm excited about that.
Thank you very much. Great interview.
Oh, thank you, Christine. It was really my pleasure, and I'm absolutely honored that you would consider taking up this much of your listeners' time hearing me talk about Art Platform. But as you can see, it's something that I'm passionate about, and I hope I can share that with a broad audience. So thank you, Christine.